COVID-19.
Okay. All right. Thank you. Yeah. Thank you for bringing that up. All right. So, here we go. We're going to be in Hebrews, and Roger kind of mentioned something or whatever, and we'll get into the history of this. So what we're going to do is we're going to look at Hebrews, then we're going to look at Galatians. We'll probably start off in Hebrews 8 and kind of dance around. And we want to look at why the new is better than the old, and then kind of come up with why do we care in the application for today. When you start looking at what Roger said, because we're Gentiles or whatever, there was this thing going on back then where the Jews kind of felt like they were better than the Gentiles. And we need to kind of bring that back into today's or whatever. So we're starting a little earlier than we normally do. And so I'm going to stop bumping my gums and let's go. I'm not going to put my notes up, but instead we're going to walk through the scriptures. So let me get to blueletterbible.org, one of my favorite places. And let's take a look at the scripture. All right. Why the new is better. All right. I wish I had my Bible, because I had my Bible has, bless you, my Bible has more to stuff on. All right, so we're in Hebrews. You can look at the screen, too. All right. Just kind of scroll through Hebrews a little bit. Now, of the things which you have spoken to some, we have a high priest, and some in the right hand of the throne of majesty, minister of the sanctuary, true tabernacle. And he starts talking about, here we go. Hebrews chapter 8, verse 5. The priests who serve unto the example, the shadow of heavenly things. As Moses was admonished by God when he was about to make the tabernacle. For see, saith he, that thou make all things according to the pattern showed thee in the mount. And so the Old Testament is a pattern or a shadow of things to come. There's value in the Old Testament. My faith is encouraged because of the Old Testament. When I see how God fulfills the Old Testament, I am confident that what he says he's going to do in the New Testament is going to come to pass. All right. So, verse 6. But now he hath obtained a more excellent ministry, by how much also he's the mediator of a better covenant, which is established by better promises. So, the old is not as good as the new. It is better promises. It is based on better promises. We're going to see that theme throughout here. And we're just kind of dancing through the theology. And then we'll come back and figure out, so why do I care? All right. Verse 7. For if that first covenant had been faultless, then should no place have been sought for the second. If the first covenant was without fault, or if it was perfect, then there wouldn't have been no place sought for the second. Now, don't get it twisted. It does not mean that there was something wrong or evil with the Old Testament or the law. The law was good. Came from God. Everything that comes from God is good. All right? But it was necessary that we have the Old Testament, or else we never would want to step into the New Testament. That makes sense? Mm-hmm. Okay. All right. Verse 8, for finding fault with them, he said, behold, oops, somebody's trying to join. For finding fault with them, he said, behold, the days come, saith the Lord, when I will make a new covenant with the house of Israel and the house of Judah. Not according to the covenant that I made with their fathers in the day when I took them by the hand to lead them out of the land of Egypt. Because they continued not in my covenant, and I regarded them not, saith the Lord. For this is the covenant that I will make with the house of Israel after those days, says the Lord. I will put my laws into their mind and write them in their hearts, and I will be to them a God, and they shall be to me a people. Why do you think he sees the need to write a new covenant? He kind of tells you there in Hebrews 9 and 10, and you know the history.
They wouldn't follow it. They weren't following the
word. So now I got to do something new because this ain't working. Mm-hmm. No, I give you the law,
But you're still not doing it.
So now I got to put it in your hearts and your mind. What's the difference between putting it on a tablet on stones and putting it in your heart? Yeah, you could. Or ignore it.
It's all about the Holy Spirit, isn't it?
But write it on your heart and in your mind, yeah.
That's
the heart, there's conviction.
Without the heart, there's conviction. Okay, gotcha. Heart, all right. Yeah, and as Roger said, we're talking about a spiritual application here. All right. Also, think about this in the natural. If it's written on a piece of paper, that's one thing. If it's written on my heart, why is it different?
You can't turn it over.
Mm-hmm. Can't turn it over, like you can't ignore it. Yep.
Personal.
Ah, that's what I'm looking for. It's personal. So now, did you bring anything with you?
Oh, Lord.
Well, go back and get what you forgot. No, I'm just good to have you.
Right there.
It's a relationship. It's now a relationship. I'll still never forget. I hope I never forget. My relationship with my dad. My dad told me, and he laid the law down. Yeah. And he said, boy, I don't want you doing what those other kids do. Don't ever do drugs. Don't ever, like he needed to tell me that, you know. Don't do it. Mm-hmm. That was the law, the written law.
The law
produces fear. So I made sure that he never found out any of the stuff that he told me not to do. And I never did drugs except for one time. Bunch of friends or whatever, didn't know what I was doing or whatever. Dad was nowhere around, you know, no big deal. I did the Clinton thing.
Yeah.
You know, blew some smoke out like a little dragon, thought I was doing something, got a little contact high or whatever, you know.
Yeah.
Went to go join the military. And they asked me a question. And my dad was with me, just as proud as he can be. And they asked me the question. They said, hey, have you ever experimented with or used drugs? And I'm like, I know I'm going to answer this. It's going to be a big fat no. I've never experienced drugs. And then he scared me into saying the truth. He said, but if we find out that you, like they're going to find out, if we ever find out that you ever use drugs, we'll kick you out. And I'm like, well, I guess I better come clean because I don't want to get kicked out of this before it gets started or whatever. So I said, yeah, I experimented with marijuana, you know, two or three times. And we went on and everything was cool. I saw the look on my dad's face. And he never brought it up to me. But the look on his face was, it wasn't even anger. It was disappointment and brokenheartedness. It was like he looked at me with his eyes. Never said a word. Looked at me with his eyes like, how could you break my heart like this when I thought you were obeying? And it was at that point that it became relational. Before, it was just a commandment that, you know, hey, I'll break it. No big deal. You ain't never got to find out. Nothing, you know. But at that point, I realized it's relational. I just broke my father's heart. And when I see that scripture where he says, I'm not going to put this on a tablet or on the wall or on the refrigerator. I'm going to put it in your heart. It becomes personal. I got saved because I didn't want to go to hell. So I stopped sinning because I didn't want to go to hell. At least I tried not to. You know. I don't serve, even if I don't have heaven, and I know I do, I don't serve God or I don't have a fear for God. I don't try to do right because I'm scared of going to hell. Still don't want to go to hell. I don't want to break God's heart. I don't want to disappoint him. I don't want him to invest all of this in me through his son, and then I just let him down by, I just don't want to break God's heart. That makes sense? It's personal. That's why the new is better than the old. The new Chuck is a much better son to my father than the old Chuck. The old Chuck did what he told me to do and would mumble and grumble. And, man, I can't wait till I get out of this house. I can't wait till I get out of here. I can't wait till I leave these people. I can't wait. The new Chuck is, Dad, what you need done? It was relational. How can I honor you and honor the name? Okay, I spent too much time on that. Let me keep going. Stop me if you see something else there. All right. And then verse 13. In that he says, a new covenant he hath made, the first old. Now that which decayeth and waxeth old is ready to vanish away. So he's saying it's time for the new covenant to move off to the side. It's time for the old covenant to move off to the side. Time for the new covenant to take over. And we'll talk about that. We'll see it more in Galatians. But let's go to the next chapter, if I can remember how to do that. Okay, so now we go to chapter 9. Let me see if there's anything in chapter 9. Yeah. So now he's talking about the old and the new. Hebrews chapter 9, verse 1. Then verily the first covenant had also ordinances of divine service in a worldly sanctuary. But there was a tabernacle made, the first wherein was the candlestick and the table and the show of bread, which is called the sanctuary. All right? And after the second veil, the tabernacle, which is called the holiest of all. Everybody remember the veil that separates the holy place from the holy of holies? All right? And then he talks about the golden censer and the furniture that's there. All right. Verse 6. Now, when these things were thus ordained, the priests went always into the first tabernacle, accomplishing the services of God. Kind of like Zechariah, you know, John the Baptist's dad going in, doing his service, you know, blah, blah, blah. Verse 7. But into the second went the high priest alone, once every year, not without blood, which he offered for himself for the errors of the people. So, the Old Testament, the old way of doing things is, the high priest would go in every day into the first part of the tabernacle and do their daily ministration for the people. All right? But then you only got to go into the Holy of Holies once a year, and only the high priest could do that. And he had to be careful. Lest they drag him out. All right, verse 9. Which was a figure of the time then present. It's a figure, allegory. It's an example of the present time in which were offered both gifts and sacrifices that could not make him that did the service perfect as pertaining to the conscience. All right. Verse 11. But Christ being come a high priest of good things to come by a greater, more perfect tabernacle, not made with hands, that is to say, not of this building, the flesh, neither by the blood of goats and calves, not the earthly tabernacle really, but by his own blood he entered in once into the holy place, having obtained eternal redemption for us. For if the blood of bulls and goats, Old Testament, and the ashes of a heifer, sprinkling the unclean, sanctified to purifying of the flesh, how much more shall the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered himself without spot to God, purge your conscience from dead works and serve the living God? So is Christ better than bulls and goats?
Yeah.
Absolutely. It's a more perfect sacrifice. So you see that the old is not as good as the new. Now we all know that. That's the theology of it. Alright? Why should we care? What does that mean in application sense for us?
Well, it means we're covered from past, present, and future sins. But and it covers everything.
Yeah.
Those
okay.
That are, like we were talking about over here earlier, those that they were talking about that they did not know that they had sinned. The Old Testament. It was right here. Committed in verse 7. the sins of the people committed in ignorance, which I'm, I got that ignorance down pretty good, so.
And that is the purpose of the law, to expose our ignorance and our inability to serve it, to recognize the need, which is always the first step of getting in relationship with God, humbly recognizing the need. If you don't see the need, you ain't changing.
No.
If you don't see the need, you're not going to go to Him. If you don't see the need, you're not going to seek Him. All right? But when you see the need, and what identifies the need? The Old Testament. The law tells, oh man, I can't do this. All right, so that's what it means in theology, I guess. So what does this have to do, and why am I talking about this when we're really talking about the parable of the old of the new wine and the old wineskins?
Don't focus on the past.
Yeah. The new wineskin is so much better than the old. What does the old wineskin represent? The past. The way you used to handle your problems and situations before. That's Old Testament kind of stuff. The new you has put that old way off to the side, and now you operate in newness of life led by the Spirit because of your personal relationship with God. The weakness of the flesh is pushed off to the side. That's the old you, and now the new you operates. Oh, wait a minute. I got the same body. Yes, but now the motivation is relational because now I can do things in this old body that I was never able to do before through the power of Christ, because Christ is driving the inner workings in my brain.
You can't get the Holy Spirit without the new.
Yeah, why would he?
That's part of the steps.
It is the steps. Mm-hmm. So when I am, when I have my new mind,
right,
I get my new spirit.
Spirit, right.
Yeah. Yeah. So the theology of it is Old Testament, New Testament, Christ trying to show the Pharisees this or whatever, trying to show. Oh, and oh, when we get to Galatians, oh, I hope we get to Galatians today. That whole Gentile, it works real well in the prisons. Well, you got to look at it from an inmate perspective. If you were to see an inmate walk in here in his little inmate uniform, what would you think?
He's prison.
Yeah.
He committed a sin.
Yeah.
A crime.
That's mm-hmm. a sin.
He's a criminal.
A little bit of fear.
You got some fear in there. Fear. Absolutely. What's he doing time for? Yeah. Is he a serial killer? I ain't talking about Captain Crunch either. I'm talking about the. How do you think the inmate feels?
Being judged.
You feel like you're accepting.
Yeah.
So you're going to feel like a second class citizen.
That applies to people who have come from being a drug addict.
Yep.
Somebody who committed adultery.
Any other things.
Yep.
Lived on the street.
Yep.
Any kind of known sin.
Right. Because you just haven't been living saved. You ain't been doing this thing as long as I have. It goes back to what Roger said originally. That's beautiful what he said.
Ignorance.
Gentiles.
Gentiles.
So as we get closer to this, we're going to see the difference between Jew and Gentile. And if you're a Gentile, you're going to kind of feel like second class, when you hear the argument that the Jewish believers are going to give you. But they're trying to bring you from the old, from the new, back into the old. So, again, I hope we can get to Galatians, but I want to get the foundational stuff here that's in Hebrews. And, again, it's the old wine and the new, it's the new wine and the old wineskins or whatever. And when I saw this, I really want to look at some more scriptures to kind of point to what this means theologically, but also what it means in application for us today. Why it is so important for us to blow out the old and hold on to the new. All right. He talks about the blood. I don't want to I want to get over to 10. For Christ, verse 24, is not entered into the holy places made with hands, which are the figures of the true, but into heaven itself, now to appear in the presence of God for us. So again, that Old Testament tabernacle, it was shaped and modeled after what's in heaven. So it's a symbol, it's an example, it's a shadow. All right? And their religious practices, you know, went through the ceremony, went through the motions, went through these iterations or whatever. And what it's saying here is Christ did it for real in the real, not the model, the real tabernacle, and he did it for real. Is there an application for us today? Certainly. Let me just help you out here. I don't want to just go to church just to be going to church, because then I'm just going through the motions. It's a model. It's just something that I do. No, there is meaning. There is something personal about worship. I don't just do worship because, okay, that's the next song on the screen. Let me just get through this. No. It's not just to make me feel good because I went out and the rest of the heathens were out playing golf or whatever. No. There's something here that's personal and relational. So when I go into worship and I see the words on the screen, I am not just reading off the words of the screen so that the people around me can hear me singing. I have a personal relationship with God because he's written it on my heart. And not just on the words on the screen. So, let's go to chapter 10, which kind of will finish us off in the Hebrews part. Ah, and there you go. Hebrews 10, verse 1. For the law, having a shadow of good things to come, and not the very image of the things, can never with those sacrifices which they offer year by year continually make the comers thereto perfect. It was just sprinkling holy water, you know, smell good over our foulness. But it was symbolic of what was going to come. Verse 2, for then would they have ceased to be offered, because the worshippers once purged should have had no more conscience for sins. That's an application. I don't want to feel guilty about things that I've done in my past. The old person, you know, I don't know. From time to time, I'll go back to something that I did that seriously disappointed somebody. Mm-hmm. And I'll feel bad about it. Mm-hmm. And feel for the person. Mm-hmm. Man, I'm sorry I did that person like that.
Mm-hmm. That happened to me.
It happened to you? How you feel after it happens to you?
I feel bad.
You feel bad. Mm-hmm. You feel condemned. You feel like you can never recover.
How could I have done that?
Yeah. What's happening here?
Enemy.
Somebody said the enemy.
Yeah.
That's good. Right, why would you say the enemy? The devil ain't.
Because you bring up your brains up.
There's a difference. He's the accuser. Oh, my goodness. This is good. There's a difference between condemnation and conviction.
He wants us to go crawl back into those old wineskins.
Woo! Go, girl! You gotta figure out all the tricks that's going to drive you back into that old wineskin. And one of the tricks is when you've done this thing for a while and then you start thinking back, man, And he brings that back to your remembrance. And he pulls you back into the bondage that you've just been set free from. So why go back and feel guilty when he's already forgiven you and set you free? And I'm not trying to track that person down on Facebook or anything like that, or what they're trying to say, apologize, bring up that old stuff unless I'm led by the Spirit to do so. I am brand new. And I'm not going to let anybody, anything, pull me back into that old stuff again. That's why the New Testament is better than the Old Testament. Do you see? You got to make this thing personal. You got to do what Norm said. You got to make this thing personal. It's more than just theology. This is my salvation. This is the new me.
Well, it's the fulfillment.
It is the fulfillment of what he wants to do in your life. So not only, let's go there. Not only is the fulfillment of what God wants to do in the earth for all of mankind, it's also the fulfillment of what he wants to do in us personally.
Yes.
It's not just what he wants to do in the church. It's what he wants to do in us as the mini church.
Right.
And we go through this process. So you got to understand, when Paul is talking about these things and conscience for sins and things going back and forth, he's not just talking about the whole nation of Israel. He's talking about
me.
I got to be new. I'm sorry that old stuff happened, but that got forgiven way back at step number one and two. That got taken care of all the way back at step number one. I've moved on now. All right. Hebrews 10, verse 6. In burnt offerings and sacrifices for sin, thou hast had no pleasure. Verse 7, then said I, lo, I come, meaning Christ, in the volume of the book it is written of me, to do thy will, O God. All right, let's keep going. I just like that part. It just sounds so wonderful. All right, verse 10. By the which we are sanctified through the offering of the body of Christ once for all. Once and for all. And every priest, Old Testament, so come on now, I only got to do this once. Isn't that better than the old? I only want one shot if I get a shot. Just give me one shot and I'm going to take care of everything.
Right.
Why I got to keep going back and getting more, just the new is better than the old. I only got to go to Christ one time. I'm good. All right. The old, every day. I got to have, and it's not even me. Every day I got to rely on somebody else, a dude, all right? And I had to make sure that he's right with God. Man, no wonder the Jews kind of shook in fear as the priest went into the tabernacle. Ooh, I hope he come out all right. Not just because I like him, because, hey, if he don't come out, then I ain't coming out, because I'm relying on him.
Right.
Oh, my goodness. All right, but this man, after he had offered one sacrifice for sin, forever sat down on the right hand of God, from henceforth expecting until all his enemies made his footstool. All right, so let's keep going. Here we go right here. Verse 19, Hebrews 10, verse 19. Having therefore, brethren, this is all of us have gone through steps 1 through 4, boldness to enter into the holiest by the blood of Jesus. By a new and living way which he has consecrated for us through the veil, that is to say, his flesh. And having a high priest over the house of God, not one who bounces in and out once a year, but one who sits at the right hand of the Father. Look at verse 22. Let us draw near with a true heart in full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water. Let us hold fast the profession of our faith without wavering, for he is faithful that promise. And let us consider one another to provoke unto love and good works, not forsaking the assembling ourselves together, but exhorting one another. All right. Verse 19.
19?
Yeah, I want to go back.
Oh, 25 is important, but Chuck?
Hit me before.
Not forsaking our own assembling together. I just
yes.
Think
yeah.
Just like this.
Yeah. 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 Whether Zoom, here, what, you know, yeah. just gathering together. It's important.
See the approaching.
Oh, especially to see the end approaching. Yeah, because it's the fulfillment. It's the fulfillment.
Mm-hmm.
Verse 19. Could you ever get that close to God in the Old Testament? You better not even think about it. But now you can. Isn't it better to have that kind of a close relationship with God than to be fearful on the outside, always long distance, relying on somebody else?
Can't imagine.
And how do we get into the Holy of Holies? Is it through our own works?
No.
No.
It's He does it for us. He makes a way for us. Wait a minute. Wait. I just said something there. He makes a way for us. That's the new. Before, we were trying to make a way on our own. What's better? Him. When you got a problem, all right, are you going to try to get yourself out of the problem and come up with your solution? Are you going to rely on Him? Thank you. So, you got to protect the new from the old. Because in the new, He makes the way. In the old, we still trying to do it ourselves. And it never works out. And if we're not trying to do it ourselves, here's one. If we're not trying to do it ourselves, then we're relying on somebody else to do it for us. And that's going to be a bigger mess. All right? Trump can't get you out the mess. Biden don't seem to be getting you out of the mess. All right? So it's not a political. When we get our religion mixed up with the world and politics or whatever, all of a sudden we start to slip back to the old when Jesus is still on the throne and He's the one who puts people up and brings people down. And so I'm just, you know, hey, don't lose your mind. Don't throw a trash can through the Italian pizza, you know, and don't storm the Capitol. Just
focus on Christ.
Man, He is still the answer.
Amen.
Stick to the new. Because there's so much stuff that keeps trying to pull you back into the old. I got to be new.
Yeah.
I got to be new. You can't even get closer to God if you go back to the old. You got to go back to the new.
Sometimes we're like what we read about the Pharisees, and we read about, like, even Paul was like, when he was Saul, you tend to fight to keep the old. Instead of accepting what Jesus has done, and walking in that, and thinking, letting the mind of Christ be operating in you, we tend to, like, for some reason, it's our tendency. We want that familiar. I don't know what all rises up within us.
It's comfortable. Like Linus with his blanket. Like Linus with his blanket. It's like the disciples staying in the boat. I'm comfortable in the boat. Mm-hmm. Yeah, launch out a little bit farther. You know, it's like the disciples that are fishing. Hey, caught anything? Nope.
Let's go back.
No. Well, let's throw it on the right side. We've been out here toiling all night. You know, we've been fishing for years. We kind of know what we're doing out here. You know, it ain't like you don't look like you know what you're doing. We kind of know what we're doing out here. But being nevertheless, at your word, let's see what happens. Yeah. Boom. They caught more fish with Jesus than they did without Him. The old versus the new. Stick with the new. That makes sense?
Yeah. We can only do it by the power of the Holy Spirit.
You can only do it by the power of the Holy, because there's so much stuff that wants to bring you back. Just
shut it off.
Woo! Yeah. Or put it in its proper perspective. Mm-hmm. Because what he's also saying here is, it's not that the Old Testament was bad. Mm-hmm. It's just we don't know how to deal with it.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a stepping stone to the new. Make sense?
Yep.
Do I dare go here?
Go.
Let's go to Galatians.
Yeah.
we're going to go in Galatians. We're going to start in chapter 2. And I'm going to kind of follow the scriptures here. We're not going to finish this because Galatians is split up into a couple different things or whatever. And I want to make sure we cover it. But we're going to be so close. We will probably get into the next parable next week. But anyway, and you guys, is this helping anybody?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. All right. So, oh, yeah, this is good stuff here. All right. Take a look at Galatians 2:16. Knowing that a man is not justified by the works of the law, but by the faith of Jesus Christ. Even we have believed in Jesus Christ that we might be justified by the faith of Christ. In fact, forgive me, David, I'm going to have to take my time on this one. We'll finish it next week, but anyway, we have to take my time on it. That we might be justified by the faith of Christ and not by the works of the law. But by the works of the law shall no flesh be justified. All right. Well, maybe we'll finish. It depends on how quickly you guys get this. Everybody understand Galatians 2:16, what I just read? Knowing that a man is not justified by the works of the law, but by faith in Jesus Christ. Even we have believed in Jesus Christ that we might be justified by the faith of Christ and not by the works of the law. For by works of the law shall no flesh be justified. Talk to me.
Law old, Jesus Christ new.
There you go. Law old, Christ new. All right. Got it. That's the simplicity of this. Now. I'm writing something here. Okay. But later on, John talks about, thanks John, talks about faith without works is dead. So when he means that we're not justified by works of the law, or by works, period, but then they come back and say, but faith without works is dead. Come on now. This used to confuse me. You say, not by works, but then you expect me to do works.
Right. It's your motive.
Oh! Davey says, it's the motive. I'm going to do something. Now, the Zoom people can't do this, but oh, what the heck kind of pen is that? Okay. Step number one. Step number one. I need to be humble. Yeah, I got one, but it's in my car. Humble. I got a need for God. All right? What's step number two? Oh, there we go.
Okay.
We want to repent, which means I bury the old me, Old Testament, Old Covenant, blah, blah, blah. What's number three? I got a new mind, new hope, resurrected mind. I'm brand new now. Step number four. Holy Spirit, how often do I need to remind myself that I'm new?
Every day.
Every day.
All
moments of it. In fact, the hymn says, I need thee every hour. Why do I need him every hour? Because every hour somebody is I almost said pissing me off. Well, I just did. Somebody's ticking me. Something's happening or whatever that's making me want to step back. Okay, I'm crazy. All right. Number five.
Mercy.
The Feast of Tabernacles. Mercy. Six. Atonement. So it's righteousness.
Victory.
Oh, let's put. I like victory. Victory, which means there's a fight down here. But when you win, you got peace.
That's why you need him every hour.
That's right. Because Christians do be fighting. All right. These are our seven feasts. Seven steps. The first four are your... relationship with God. Got it? Mm-hmm. David said something here. The first part of your relationship with God. Where do the works fit in?
By
yourself. Oh, there you go.
Okay.
Now, they can't see. They're watching my screen. Okay. For those of you on Zoom, I just wrote down the first seven, these seven steps. Now, you see where works is. Works is 5, 6, and 7. The steps go in order. Mm-hmm. It ain't Chuck's order. It's the divine order. It's the Leviticus 23 feast order. Mm-hmm. It is the natural cycle order. Just like spring comes before summer and... What happens if we're justified by works and we see works starts at 5, 6, and 7?
We trust in
it. You're doing it with the Holy Spirit.
Wait a minute, what are you asking?
Wait, ask that again.
Try again.
All right. Roger. All right, here we go. What happens if you're justified by works and works starts at 5, 6, and 7? Which means
you're doing it on your own
without the Holy Spirit. Mm-hmm. That would be the old you doing it on your own. And we've already gone through an entire book of Hebrews almost letting you know that the new is better than the old. So why we keep doing trying to do the old?
So what Luke 5 says at the very end of it.
What does Luke 5 say at the very end of it?
And no one, having drunk old wine, immediately.
Oh, there you go. Look at her.
Desires new.
That's it.
For he says the old is better.
It works for me. The old. Now come on now. There's the old. Hey, when I fussed that dude out, all right, that worked for me. When I took my knife out. That worked for me. And you know, we felt good too. And you went and told somebody. Let me tell you what I that it boasted about it. All right.
Why
are
you still carrying
the
knife?
Because sometimes there's packages and things I need to cut open or whatever. I got small fingernails and stuff like that. If you ask me another question, I might cut you. Anyway. All right. So now you understand when you see it graphically how crazy that is for us to try to justify ourselves in God because it's out of order. It goes back to what Davey said. You're not doing it with the right motivation. Because if that ain't driving your good works, then you might wind up in the wrong lane.
They don't burn up.
It's all right. 1 Corinthians chapter 3, foundation gets burned up. Or God forbid, because I can still get saved in 1 Corinthians chapter 3. God forbid. I'm at the sheep goat thing.
Oh, yeah.
And I'm in the left lane rather than the right lane.
I won't be with the sheep.
You won't
be a goat.
No. I don't want to be a goat. No. And then you get up in line and you go,
Tell you to go over there.
He's like, oh, God. Hey, come on, now, let's do this like Beyonce. To the left, to the left, to the left. I'd be like, but hey, I did this in your name, and I did that in your name, and I did this in your name. But he says, I don't know you because you didn't do step 1 through 4 first before you did your works. So don't get it twisted. God is still expecting us to do works. But you got to do that thing in order. And if you don't have a relationship with him, keep your works in your pocket.
Yeah, what happened to the priest that tried to cast out demons in Jesus' name?
Oh, he wound up butt naked.
Yeah. No, Jesus, we don't know.
Yeah, Acts 19. Even the demon knows who it is. You, which me? Oh, see, you went there. So you got to be careful because you could be going in the church saying Jesus, Jesus. He's like, I don't recognize none of that. And then, okay. Let me just. That's a good story. That's a good story. Yeah. He was saying all the right things. I cast you out in the name of Jesus, and you know, and not Paul or whatever. And the demon talking about, now wait a minute now. I know Paul. I'm scared of Paul. I know Jesus. Who are you?
That's a good one.
Yeah. Didn't just take the clothes, beat them up.
Yeah.
I don't want to go in without the power of the Holy Spirit. Question. You ain't got an answer. I already know it. Have you ever done that without this?
Too many times.
I just wanted to do that graphically, just kind of let you know. He's still expecting works. God forbid you get to number 4 and then you don't do the work. But it's even worse if you start doing the works and you ain't got God.
Without him.
Woo! Man, why are you going to try to tackle that problem without him? That's you going back to the old. That's how relevant this can be for us. It's not just the theology. It's the application. Who would ever want the old? How ridiculous is that? But we do it. You're asking me about what I prepare my knife for. Oh. I need thee. Oh, I need thee. Al is about to. Anyway. All right. Let's go a little bit further. Verse 20. Oh, now, this is going to be interesting. Here's your homework assignment. Are they trying to get back here? All right, I was going to give them a homework assignment. Jimmy don't want the homework. That's all right. Jimmy don't want the homework assignment. That's all right. All right.
No.
All right.
He said y'all got a homework assignment. They said, what is it?
Read Galatians 2:20 and see if they see the feast in there.
You're welcome.
Yeah, they're happy about that. All right. Well, now that you already told me what I was going to, look at Galatians 2:20. See if you see the feast there. See what feast steps you see.
I see a song.
Oh,
okay.
I am crucified with Christ. What step?
One.
Step number one. Mm. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I. That's step number 2. But Christ liveth in me.
That's three.
And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. Wow. See, I'm not making this stuff up. All right?
Wow.
Now, he just gave you the 4 steps in order in the New Testament. Well, how did Chuck figure this out? In the Old Testament. So, you got to put the old in its proper perspective. It was just a shadow to show you how to make this thing real in your life today. I'm crucified with Christ. Wait a minute. Verse 21. Mm-hmm. I do not frustrate the grace of God, for if righteousness came by the law, then Christ is dead in vain. Uh-oh. Somebody talk to me and tell me about that one. We might have to end on that one. He says, I don't frustrate the grace of God. Where does, in our steps, where does grace fall in?
Well,
second? Yeah, grace comes in here. Mm-hmm. God's grace. Mm-hmm. Paul says, I don't frustrate the grace of God. Mm-hmm. What does your funny Bible say, Al?
I do not treat grace of God as meaningless.
I don't treat the grace of God as meaningless. Oh, my goodness. Oh, yeah, we're going to end on this note because y'all ain't going to want to hear anything else that I got to say. All right, what else does that?
For it is keeping the law could make us right with God. Then there was no need for Christ to die.
Okay.
NIV says,
what's in it?
I do not set aside the grace of God.
I do not set aside the grace of God. I like that too. What else?
If righteousness could be gained through the law, Christ died for nothing.
All right. Here we go. Oh, man, this is good to like. You know, and this is the Holy Spirit because none of this is in my notes. I'm looking at this and it's just being revealed to me. And I didn't think to even put this up, and that is just showing me something. All right. So, can you read your verse, your version one more time? Yes. Susan. Yeah.
I do not set aside the grace of God.
I do not set aside the grace of God. Which of these steps outlines the grace of God? Yeah. Phase one. 1-4, the grace of God. Paul says, I do not set this aside. Well, you can, but I don't set aside. I don't ignore this. Keep reading.
For if righteousness could be gained through the law,
if I could get there by just doing this, so when you're living here, all right, in the old you, you just ignored Christ and what he died for and what he did for you up here. So let's just make this real. I know I've read that scripture before, and I know what it says. It says, hey, look, I don't frustrate God. I don't frustrate my Father. I don't want my Father looking at me like he did when he found out that I was experimenting with stuff. I don't want to ever see that look of disappointment again. I don't frustrate God, Abba Father, by ignoring this and trying to do this. Or else, he died in vain.
Well, we can't do what you just said.
Yeah, we can't do this without him. We can't do the works without him. So why are we going to try to do when we try to do the work without him, we ignore or Christ dies in vain in that moment. Now, I know we're all believers and we're never going to do that. And I know we're all that. But wait a minute. Let's make this thing situational. Mm-hmm. I got an issue that I got to deal with. It's a problem. I'm going to work this thing out on my own. The old way that I used to work it out on. Okay? I just miss. Christ just died in vain for that particular instance. I got to take my car to the shop. Got my little indicator on the Benz. I only got one car now. Got a little indicator indicating that in 400 miles I got to have a service. I got to make an appointment to go take my car to the shop. Al, can you meet me at the shop and give me a ride back and then ride me back down to pick up my car?
Yeah.
Thank you. Because I ain't about to ask my wife to do it.
Now, there you go.
Where am I going?
In yourself.
Oh, I ain't going to give her that opportunity to put me on the side of the road.
There you go again. Works.
What do you mean works?
You doing it on your own.
I ain't doing it on my own. Al is going to help me out.
That's
what do you mean that's the wrong person?
Wait a minute now.
Wait.
The motivation behind
your testimony
is not the right person, Al.
That doesn't mean I'm not going to call on you. That don't mean you ain't going to take me down to get my car when I take it down to the shop. But the motivation behind it has to be, well, I don't want to she's busy,
you're robbing her of an opportunity to do good.
Class dismissed. I'm just glad that, how do I say this? I'm glad that I got salvation and I'm in the right lane. But he died that we could have life more abundant. And I really can't have everything that he's promised me and really operate in the fullness of his power if I still got some of the old stuff. And we spent this entire lesson talking about how the Old Testament is not as good as the New Testament, that he's doing something better, that we can have a closer relationship, that the things that we cannot do in our flesh, he does through us, by us going through those steps or whatever, and just he is the answer. Jesus is always the answer. And yet there are still things in our life that we come back to and we go, we know he's the answer, but I don't need his answer right now. I got this. I got this. All right. So let's get ready to get out of here. We will pick this up next week. Anybody got anything they want to add or share, or did this help anybody? Or
all right. Good, Chuck.
All right. Well, God is good.
All the time.
So we will pick up with, these parables are really helping me. We will pick up with the second part of Galatians. Galatians chapter 3 through 5, talking about the new being better than the old. And there's a really good story in there. We're going to go back to Sarah and Abraham. And then we're going to really get to the gist of what Roger said with the Gentiles. And we'll look at the difference there with them. All right? Because what's happening with the Gentiles back then happens to us today. All right? Okay. Any other thoughts or comments before we close?